So this is Fullness of Time, part five, the war of impatience is what I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to call it. And really, I'm praying that it's a relevant message to the way that we're seeing the world right now, but it just happens to flow in perfect timing with kind of the series of messages that I was already doing about time. And I felt like the Lord told me this morning, just before I start, that the message that I'm about to release, it can harden your heart or it can soften your heart. If you listen for things that you already know and already agree with, chances are this message will harden your heart. If you're willing to let the Lord tell you things you didn't already know or maybe consider things you didn't already agree with, then this message can soften your heart. And I felt like he's saying, this is really important right now. It's really important, actually, just to be patient. Even as you hear things, even as you consider things the way that you think about things, just to be patient. Let him tell you if these things are so, and if so, what to do about them. Because I'm going to talk about spiritual things, like spiritual things, but earthly examples. And the point is neither the ethereal spiritual thing or the earthly example 6,000 miles away. The point is, what do I do about this this afternoon and tomorrow and the next day? Okay, so Holy Spirit, I'm just asking, would you help us to open our hearts to you? Lord, even as I speak these things, I don't want to say things that I think I know. I want you to talk to me. I want you to tell me things I don't know. But I don't want to just listen for things I agree with. I want to hear the things that change my mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, item one, recognizing the war. The end times are a test for followers of Jesus and a test for the world, both. According to the Bible, it's a test for the church, or what people that call themselves the church, people that consider themselves under the leadership of Jesus, and it's a test for the world, both, okay? And they're different tests for the different aspects. Learning patience keeps us from this test. You can actually test out of the test. If you've ever, you know, went to school and teacher said, hey, there's a pretest. If you do well in the pretest, you don't have to take the post-test. The Bible describes this test this way. If you pass the pretest, and the point is, what Noah just prophesied, none of the suffering is without point. None of it's needless. God, he doesn't desire that we be in pain and just like prove our love for him. He's correcting us to get us ready to be with him. And if we are ready to be with him, we need no correction. And the Bible says this many places, over and over. Now, the learning patience keeps us from the test, which is designed to evaluate patience and faith. That's the point of the test. The test is orchestrated by God to find out, are you patient? Are you faithful? And so he does things. He lets the flesh or the material world around us be touched to find out where our lives are. If your life is in heaven with him, then the touching of the material world is not nearly as impactful to you as what's happening in the spiritual realm. Most of us, if you're like me, you do not mostly think about what's happening in the invisible spiritual realm when there's great intensity on the earth. When it seems like there's not much going on the earth, maybe you take some time and daydream about what's happened in the heavens, spend some time with the Lord, look at him, try to imagine what the angels are doing. But typically, in intense moments on the earth, you don't do that. And what he's trying to do is get us to look up when we see all these things, to actually spend our time more and more in the realm that's coming to the earth. So the heavenly realm is coming down. And if it comes down and you're mostly living your life in the earthly realm, what happens is your life is going to get crushed. But if you're mostly living in the heavenly realm, when the heavenly realm comes down, your life increases. It actually gets more peaceful, better. And that's what you want. You actually want to see that. So Steph came up. She's like, you know, I heard about the heat not working in the building. And I was really happy because we took a risk. Like the Lord had prophesied that we needed a boiler. It was very expensive and it didn't look like we needed one right now. It's hard to spend a lot of money when you think, is it a waste? Like, could we wait another couple of years? And so the fact that we tried to live in the heavenly realm, now that the heavenly realm has come down, you're like, okay, he made a way for this. Like, that true thing that we believed that we could not see, now that we're seeing it, we are glad that we believed it when he said it, so that when it comes down, we're not crushed by it. Because it was going to happen either way. The boiler was going to fail either way. That's just one tiny example. There's lots of examples like this if we watch for them in our lives. So the test is about time, right? And even the boiler thing, it's about time. We all know eventually that boiler is going to go. When? And do we believe in faith? It's now. If we do, then we kind of come into sync with God joining everything in heaven and earth together, you know, on the bigger frame, not so much the boiler, but like Jesus is coming. It's guaranteed. So we look at that, we're like, when? And if he's like now, but we can't see it, we're like, okay, I'll make the costly choices now so that when that thing comes down, I'm flowing with the timing of heaven, right? This is important. Now, the test is about time. So if you pass the pre-test, you don't need the post-test, which is very painful. The post-test, if you wait to cram for the final and think, I'll just take the final is a doozy. It's a real big one. Okay, so Matthew 24, 21 to 22. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no nor ever shall be. So let's think about some of the big tests Jesus has given the earth. Just call out some of the big tests the earth has endured. The Holocaust, great. Famine, absolutely. The Exodus, right? The Exodus from Egypt, that's a big test. Big ocean in front of you, big army behind you. What are we going to do, Moses? You let us out here. Like, especially for Moses. What are some other big tests? Noah's Ark, thank you. Going into the promised land, there's giants in there. There's big fruit, but there's giants in there. So all of these tests, they're smaller than the one that the Lord has appointed for you. Just by the signs of the times. You're actually called to a bigger test than Moses standing there in front of the Red Sea with a whole army behind him and millions of people that are following him. Your test is bigger than that promised land, but man, you got to face those giants to get into it. Your test is bigger than Noah's flood in some ways. Abraham sacrificing his son, huge test. Your test is bigger than that. Unlike anything that our world has seen until this time, nor ever shall be again, it's the biggest test that there ever will have been. You're very privileged is what that means. Those people that endured those tests that you read about in the Bible, they're just like you and me. They just said yes to God when God said, will you walk through this with me? They're just like you and me. You have a destiny of biblical proportion. Hear what I'm saying. You have a destiny of biblical proportion, but the enemy wants you to doubt all of that and live like the world that can't recognize it and fail the test. The enemy wants you to fail the test because he does not like God, and God really likes you and wants you to pass this test. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So I want you to just pay attention to what I underlined here on the notes. Since the beginning of the world until this time, these are all time statements. This test is about time. Unless those days were shortened, that's a time statement. For the elect's sake, the days are shortened. God is working the time for you, not against you. Patience is for you, not against you. The earthly, fleshly patience, that's what we talked about last week. If you try to do that in your own strength, that patience is against you. It will wear you out. It will tire you out. It'll frustrate you. But the patience of the Lord is for you. God's orchestrating the time for you. Patience just means you will believe him about that, and then you have peace in the waiting, okay? Because he gives you stuff to focus on. Now, Revelation 3, 10 to 11. Because you've kept my command to persevere. That's a time statement, persevere. Persevere implies there's a length of time that you're faithful, okay? I also will keep from you from the hour of trial. The hour of trial is a time period. That's Jesus said that trial's actually shortened for the elect's sake, but some people actually be kept from it. Doesn't mean kept in it, kept from it. That's what you want. You want to be kept from it. You actually want to be outside of it, looking into it and interceding. That's where Jesus is. Jesus is outside of it, though his body is in it, so he feels it, but he's interceding from a place of higher position. He's above the fray is the way I like to think about it. And so if you're above the fray, if you're an intercessor that's been sealed and protected by the Lord, you're still in it because when the one part suffers, all suffer. But you're also in a place where you see from a different perspective. That's what you want. That's actually what you want. It's not faithful to be like, I'll just take my lot with the rest of the people that are learning to trust you. He's like, I'd actually rather you trust me. Then you can stand with me. He says, I look for a man who will build a wall, who stand in the gap, but I found none, so I destroyed the land. You don't want to, you want the land destroyed. You actually want to be the person that stands in the gap, builds the wall. That means you have to be seeing things different than everybody else is seeing them, right? Ultimately, and in the broad strokes, This test is to determine whether you value eternity over the short, less than life. That's the time aspect of the test. Do you value your eternal life more than your 70 or 80 years for strength? And my friend Tim says 80 plus. Now, this short life, this is what we're experiencing right now, separate from God. Even those of us that dwell before his presence day after day after day, we're still separate from him, right? You experience that. When you feel God's presence, you're like, oh, I long to actually see you, to touch you, to be near you. We're separate from God right now. This, trying to hang on to the scraps of this life is kind of silly when you think about what's really at stake and what's really available. This short life is mostly feeling alone because of that separation from God. Lacking the power we were made to live in. Right now, we lack the power we were made to live in. We might call the power supernatural, but from the world's history's perspective, we're living in subnatural right now. We're supposed to be living in natural, which is to us supernatural. Lacking the fellowship with the light of mankind, or what's called satisfaction. So you can get all the money that you think will make you happy, and I guarantee you, if it's just money, you will not be satisfied. You can get all the love. You can get all the affection from the earth that you think would make you feel belonging and accepted, and I guarantee you, you would find it empty without God. You could get the house, you could get the car, you can get the prestige, you can get the reputation. You can get a whole country with a massive army behind you and multiple nuclear weapons and still be unsatisfied in your deepest inner part. You see what I'm saying? There's only one thing worth living for, and it's to get to life, like to get to the actual restarting of life. That's what this age is for, is to train our hearts to trust him so that he can actually restart what he called life in the Garden of Eden. Right now, we're not living in life. This is, he never intended life to be this way, though he knew it would happen. Now, those who have tasted and seen God should know and choose to forego this two-dimensional, I just think of it, paper-thin life right now, and yearn for the full-dimensional life. It's infinitely more dimensional than this life, infinitely more, which we would do if we could see time rightly. Like, if we could actually see time right, if he would just take us, like, 4 million years into it, we'd be like, whoa, and then he'd be like, okay, zip, put you back. Can you be faithful for a few years here? We'd be like, yes. Yes, we can. But it takes faith. He's not looking for people that touch and only believe when they touch and handle and control. Really, that's what Thomas was saying to his friends when he hadn't seen Jesus yet. He's like, I'll believe it when I can control it. Right? That's what Adam and Eve, that's where they made the mistake in the Garden of Eden. We'll control this thing. So he doesn't want a bunch of people that are like, yeah, I'll believe it if I can control it. No, he says, believe me because I'm good. Believe me because the birds sing, because there's sunshine, because I put love in your life. Believe me because I've already been a really good leader in your life. You wouldn't exist if it weren't for me. You wouldn't be heart beating if it weren't for me. So just believe me. I'll take you there, actually, if you let me, and I'll show you what to live for. And if you do that, then when everything's shaking on the earth, you're actually kind of in a different place. You're seated with him in the heavenly realm, is the way it says it in Ephesians. Okay, so those who've tasted and seen God should know and choose to forego this two-dimensional life now and yearn for the full-dimensional life, which we would do if we could see time rightly. Now, on a side note, Smyrna and Philadelphia, they do see the time rightly. So in the letters to the seven churches, two of those churches see time right, and they endure persecution, both of them. Okay? And if you look, you'll see that he talks to them about time, the hour of trial and 10 days of testing. Now, the war that is coming against the saints, because it's the test, everybody say war. Everybody say test. They're the same thing. The 42-month war against the saints and the testing of your faith, they're the same thing. Okay, so the war, the test that's coming against the saints is entirely about time, or what we would say is impatience. It's a test of impatience. Now, those who have tasted, or I'm sorry, I just went to the wrong place in my notes. Okay, Daniel 7, 24 to 25. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. Another shall arise after them. Who's the 11th? Somebody yell it out. Who's the 11th horn? Antichrist, thank you. He shall be different from the first ones, and he shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute. Now, this is a time statement. The word that's translated persecute here is bela, or it means wear out. He shall wear out the saints. Wearing out implies time, right? It's over time. The saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change, everybody say it, times. That's zaman, a set time. He wants to change a specific time. Something's supposed to happen at a set time, and he's like, I want to move that, okay? And the law. Then the saint shall be given into his hand for a time. This is a different word for time. Times and half a time. It's eidon. It's a length of time, mostly translated as 1 year. It's a span of time, not a set moment where something's supposed to happen, okay? Now, Satan, he's very cunning. And so the reason I put this in here is this is talking about the war against the saints, this 3.5 years, or this time times half a time, 42 months. The Antichrist does this because he wants to usher in a new age. He wants to usher in an age of renewal of the earth. He wants to usher in an age where bodies are safe, you know, healed or protected medically. He wants to usher in an age where there's world peace. He wants to usher in an age. So I want to tell you something. Right now, I think you're probably going to see a lot of people starting to say, you know, maybe Putin's the Antichrist. Maybe this is happening. The Antichrist is going to be the answer to this stuff. He's the one the earth is like, we got to get an answer because it's all breaking apart. Okay? I just want to say that clearly. The Antichrist has to do some really specific political things that Putin is not doing. He has to do some really specific medical things, some really specific climate change things that Putin really is not interested in at all. Okay? So Satan is cunning. He comes as an angel of light. His primary weapon is lies. That means he's waging a psychological war. Now, it's very tempting to fear Satan operating through man. Oh, man, if those people get demonized, they're going to come after me. Look out. You know, that army gets demonized. The Antichrist army gets demonized. Then they're going to start trying to hunt me down. We should be way more afraid of Satan operating through us, not operating through people coming against us. Because it's a psychological war. We should be way more concerned about what we're believing about the world around us than about all what other people are believing about the world around them. You see what I'm saying? So when you start to think about, okay, there's this Antichrist army raising up, it'd be tempting to be afraid of the people that make up the Antichrist army and what they're going to do to your house, what they're going to do to your job, what they're going to do to your kids. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches, no, be aware that you could unwittingly become a part of the Antichrist army, then you forfeit your soul. That's way worse. Way worse to forfeit the leadership of your life than to lose your physical body or even your kids. Okay? And I appreciate Vince bringing up Abraham taking Isaac up the hill. So, we tend to fear Satan operating through man. This is entirely the deception. We should fear Satan operating through us and displacing God with lies that sound like God. Satan actually wants to sound like God. If Satan could pull it off, he would want to be the one who gives you life. If Satan could pull it off, he's the one who wants to give you love. He actually wants to be the one that satisfies you. He just can't. He wants to set his throne on the mount of the Most High. He wants to be like God. He just can't pull it off. He doesn't have the power to. And so he compromises and counterfeits, and what that leads to is death and destruction. But if he could, he would love to be the benevolent leader of the earth. He just can't. Do you see what I'm saying? So, Matthew 10, 26 to 33. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, this is a patience teaching. He's teaching people when you're under pressure, don't give in to the pressure. Don't give in to the fear. You'll compromise. Trust God. Don't fear people that could kill you. He was setting his disciples up for a moment when everyone would try to kill them for being loyal to Jesus. He's trying to set you up for the very same thing right now, like right now. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Is he talking about believers? Somebody say that again. Is he talking about believers? Only believers? No. He's talking about all humans. He's saying humans are more valuable than sparrows. All humans. There's going to come a moment, I want to tell you something, there's going to come a moment in time, and you're going to start to question, is this happening because I've been disloyal to God? And I want to answer that question for you right now. No. It's happening because you're loyal to God. You're loyal to God. He's protected. There's not one person, even the atheist that says there is no God, he's still considering that person worth keeping alive. Otherwise, the person wouldn't be alive. Jesus is talking about human beings. Right now, he's saying there's not one falling to the ground. You're worth more than sparrows, way more. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So if you walk in this truth, if you walk in, I'm safe from people that want to kill me until I'm not, until he decides to take me, I'm safe. Jesus walked through many crowds that wanted to throw him off cliffs, wanted to kill him. He walked right through them because it wasn't his time, is what it says. If you believe this, then you will actually confess him in front of people that want to hurt you. That's what he's talking about. He's not like, because, you know, you're the believer and you're more valuable to me than sparrows, then you have to do this. It's not a trading of, okay, I made you valuable, now you do this. It's no, when you realize this, when you realize how much he loves your enemies, you will actually tell them the truth, no matter what they promise to do to you, threaten to do to you. And what you'll find is freedom. So we actually have to understand there's a war happening for this reality, for this witness slash praying reality. That's what the war is all about. Satan does not want a witness of Jesus' personality on the earth, and he does not want a praying church. Those are the two things he's warring against. So when you see this war happening in the Ukraine, you might think, well, it's the Russians attacking the Ukrainians, or the Ukrainians, you know, some people actually believe like the Ukrainians kind of deserve this, which I don't really understand. But the point is, neither one of those things is happening. Satan is warring against prayer. That's what's happening. And I want to show you the Bible passages about that. But you have to understand, this is a psyops. Satan wants you to believe this is people fighting. It's not. It's angels fighting, actually. Okay? Yeah. Okay? I feel like I have seen Hacksaw Ridge, but it's been a long time, so I can't remember the plot. Mm-hmm. You never grabbed a rifle, save 70 people in one night. Gotcha. Yeah. Awesome. Wow. Yeah, so Dane is retelling, just for the sake of the stream, retelling the plot line of Hacksaw Ridge and talking about this is real, like this works. Yeah, this happened. Yeah, awesome. And in addition to that, in our time, we've got all these Bible stories of people that literally sang, put their trust in God, the enemies destroyed each other, and because they were able to see, oh, this is a spiritual war. My war is not against flesh and blood. It's against the prince and power of the air. So the psychological war that Satan wages, it entices us into seeing the wrong enemies and also into celebrating false victories. Satan comes as an angel of light. And so we might be like, well, you know, I don't want to see the wrong enemies. We don't understand celebrating the wrong victories gets us into the emotional flow of what Satan wants us to experience so that we will actually be part of a group of people that are energized to fight God but think they're helping God. We don't want to be the people that fight God thinking we're helping him because we haven't actually been mindful of our emotions and what we're actually supposed to believe about what's happening. Okay, so I want to read this. Ephesians 6, 11 to 18. Put on the whole armor of God, whole armor, not just pieces of it. You need the whole thing. They're interconnected. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's tricky. He's cunning. That's the point. You're not the one person with like Darth Vader radar that just knows where Darth Vader is all the time. He says this because you don't know, okay? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers in the dark of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's literally what's happening in Russia and the Ukraine right now. Not only there, here, as we watch it. There's a psyops that's happening right now all over the earth. I want to tell you something. Pride is spreading out on the earth in a way we could not understand. There's a spiritual change happened on 2/22/22. And that change is that pride is washing over the earth. And the people of the earth are going to declare war on Jesus. Like for real. When he comes and splits the sky, they're going to declare war on him. Be patient. It's going to happen. The Bible says it. It's going to happen. You're seeing the setup for it right now. You're seeing the groundwork. The air, you know, cover is happening right now in the spiritual realm, right now. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. These aren't like, you know, I just pray it and he kind of puts it on me. I don't understand it. I have no idea what it does. This is, oh, I have to actually look at what's happening in the Ukraine with the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and shod my feet with preparation of the gospel. Lord, what is happening in the spiritual realm in this place? Like, are you getting people humbled and broken and repentant, or are a bunch of people actually being emboldened to fight with weapons that are carnal, and I kind of want them to win because I think that other group is bad, and I'm actually being pulled out of the armor? You see what I'm saying? This armor is real. It's practical. It needs consideration. It needs to be put on by you. So we can pray it and ask God to put it on us, and that's good because you need his help, but you have to actually put it on intentionally. You have to say, I want the leadership of the Lord in the area of righteousness. I want the leadership of the Lord in the area of truth. I want the leadership of the Lord in that area of salvation. Like, I can make a bunch of assumptions about salvation, but that won't protect my head. If I actually get to the truth of salvation, okay, that will protect my head, my thinking. Do you see what I'm saying? This is stuff that's practically put on by you, according to the passage. Okay. And above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, sword of spirit, which is the word of God, praying always and with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. And Paul's actually telling you how to put it on. And it's not just a kind of, I don't understand the armor. Just put it on me and then I'll move on and do the things that I can do. No, it's actually praying. Okay, God, I got to see this, like the belt of truth in this battle. Where is the truth in this battle? Do you see what I'm saying? That's just one example of the many that are listed here. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We should actually, when we look at what's going on in the Ukraine and in Russia and America and Israel mostly, we should actually be like, okay, what are you doing for the saints in that place? It's very tempting to be like, who are the good guys and who are the bad guys? And yeah, I'll ignore some of the bad stuff the good guys are doing. No. There's saints in both places. There's saints in Russia. There's saints in the Ukraine. What's God doing in the saints right now? Where's the witness going to come out in the Ukraine? Is the witness supposed to be America finally broke down in their pride and sending some, you know, F-16s to fight? That should not be the witness we're hoping for. The witness we're hoping for is it's worth it to lay down this life to shine for the Lord for the next life. You see what I'm saying? It's a different view. Right now, there's a huge emotional pull on the whole earth into pride, a massive emotional pull on the whole earth into pride. It's demonic, okay? Now, Jesus requires we see things differently than the world. We must see the actual war hidden in the events of our day. These are some principles that we need to apply. The enemy is never people. It's literally never people. You show me the most heinous person, that's not your enemy. God made that person. That person's not breathing without God's help. That person's heart's not beating without God's help. There are no human enemies, okay? People are always the victim of the demon. Always. Russia and the Ukraine are fighting because the people are both losing the war against Satan. I don't care what the headlines are telling you about what's going on in which city, they're both losing the war against Satan if they're fighting. If they're fighting with weapons that are carnal, they're both losing the war. Now, the world, that's the only choice they got. So don't be too hard on the world for fighting their wars. They need to fight their wars. But believers that get caught up in the human wars are losing against Satan. Losing. And you need to be a witness that there's an entirely different war going on. If you do that, you'll be hated by the world because it will seem ineffective. But you will be vindicated and you are standing for Jesus and he's trying to save people out of these wars right now. Okay? Putin isn't smart. That's being bantied around right now. Well, is he smart or isn't he smart? That's a bait into a human war. Well, he's not smart. Well, he's dust without the Lord. He's dust, just like me and you, without the Lord. We're not smart. We need Jesus just to think right. Have you ever been confused? You know that you can lose it quick. My brother-in-law, before he passed away, I was in the woods with him once hunting. He got lost, and my son and I were looking for him in the dark, and within 15, 20 minutes, both of us were confused, afraid, couldn't think right, didn't know what to do. Have you ever been lost by yourself in the woods? You know that one of the main reasons people die is because they panic, they get confused. You can lose your ability to think clearly quickly if you're under pressure. Okay, so we have to understand these false arguments about who's good and who's bad, that's all the bait of Satan. He doesn't care which side you take. Just take a side and start asserting that you're better than someone else. That's all I want. Just take a side and start asserting that your cause is righteous and their cause is evil. That's what I want. He's like a puppet master. He loves that. Putin isn't smart, and he isn't being humbled. So this morning, I was reading in the news, and they're like, oh, man, this Russian army, they are failing on every side. There's no diesel fuel. Their supply lines stink. He wasn't expecting it to take this long. He thought it'd only be a couple of days. They're going to be humiliated. This is the bait of Satan. A ton of people are like, good, good. He's going to be humbled and shamed. That's what Satan wants you to feel. That's not the witness of Jesus in this. No, where is the witness? What is Jesus doing? What are the demons doing? How is God saving people out of both of these places? There's little 19-year-old kids that are fighting for Russia. They don't even know why they're fighting. They're soldiers. They're prisoners. And they ask them, why are you doing this? They're like, we don't know. They're little kids, younger than my kids. Is God saving any of them? Yes. Yes, he is. He wouldn't allow it if he wasn't. So what's happening with Putin is he's being given over to himself. His pride is causing him to become an animal, literally. Not just him. Anyone who looks at him and then becomes prideful, whether because they agree with him or disagree with him, they're getting the exact same demonic leadership. It's spreading like a disease right now. COVID-19 should tell us something. Some things spread super fast. Pride is one of those things that spreads super fast. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in just a second. This will provoke pride on the earth in a massive way. What's happening with Putin will provoke pride on the earth in a massive way because we're literally watching a moment akin to Nebuchadnezzar getting the mind of an animal, but we're seeing it on a global level on TV and on social media. There's a lot of people that are being provoked to make spiritual choices right now. They literally don't even know they're making spiritual choices. You should know, and you should be a clear witness right now, that there are spiritual choices being made. There is no romantic victory of Ukrainians defending themselves against this evil. A lot of people are being sucked into the romance of, okay, there's these beautiful young women that are now taking up guns. Have you seen any of these pictures? There's lots of them. Young ladies, like, with machine guns, and they were, a couple weeks ago, they were doing this, but now they're staying and they're fighting. There's these, the president of Ukraine is becoming a pop hero right now because he was a comedian. Nobody thought he would stand in the fight, and he's like, I'm not going anywhere. I don't need a ride. I need ammunition, and it's very tempting. There's a soul pull to be like, yes, finally some courage on the earth. But I want to tell you something. It's a trap. It's an emotional trap. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. There are no, the plan Jesus has for Ukraine is to repent. To repent. The plan Jesus has for Russia is to repent. To repent. Not to be destroyed. To repent. Just like Nineveh. He had mercy on Nineveh. He's like, do you know how many livestock there are in the city of Nineveh? He cared about the animals in Nineveh. He cares about the animals in Russia. He cares about the animals in the Ukraine. There's not one sparrow that falls without his permission. He loves life. He loves life. He loves it. Revelation 13:10. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. So when you see Zelensky, who's not a believer, he's not calling people to humble themselves and actually give ourselves to Jesus, and Jesus will make us strong to defend ourselves. That's a false narrative. That's not happening at all. Zelensky's not a believer. He's actually a secular Jew. He doesn't even believe in Judaism, really. And he's finding something in the strength of man to fight and to hang on to what man has. That's the only choice he's really got. So I don't condemn him for that. He doesn't know the Lord. But I know the Lord, and I can't possibly celebrate that as good when I know that's keeping him from repenting. Do you see what I'm saying? So I don't condemn the man. My heart breaks for the man. But I don't let the enemy pull me into some romantic idea that's not real and is actually fighting against Jesus and what he's doing in this situation. Do you see what I'm saying? This is important. This is a patient statement. If you wait long enough, the wisdom of what I'm saying will be clear on the earth. It will be clear. But if you try to process this in the moment where it's all being worked out and come to your decisions of who's good and who's bad right now, that's impatient. That will put you in the Antichrist army. I'm telling you, it will. Right now, many people are being drawn to fight Jesus. They're being drawn into a hatred of Jesus, and they don't even know it. They think to themselves, I would never hate Jesus. But there's going to be multitudes, many. It says most will come to him and say, I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. And he's going to say, I never knew you. They will never think they were at war with Jesus. They will think they were warring for him. But he doesn't war the way men does. The leader of Russia is not a follower of Jesus. Neither is the leader of the Ukraine. Jesus is allowing this to save Ukrainians and Russians forever, not today. He's got a plan to save people forever, not today. The humble will repent on both sides. The fleshy or the arrogant will fight. Flesh victories are the only choice for the world, but believers must come out of the world. 2 Timothy 2:3-4. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're actually enlisted in an entirely different army. You're not enlisted into the United States of America. You're not enlisted into the Ukrainian government. You're not enlisted into Russia. You're enlisted as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ who is fighting a battle on this earth against demons. And if you get caught up in the affairs, the civilian affairs of the world, then you're a defector from the army of the Lord. That's a big deal to the Lord. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please himself or may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. This is Paul's instruction to Timothy. John 15:19-20. If you were of the world would love its own. This is Jesus talking to Pilate. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. The next one is Pilate. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now, if you're getting sucked back into the world, then I want to tell you something. You're falling away. This is how it happens. This is how it's deception. This is how people get deceived into it. They get emotional about the fleshy wrong victory, they get emotional about the fleshy wrong fear. They start fighting the wrong things and celebrating the wrong things, and Satan doesn't care either way. As long as you're not in Jesus' army, loyal to Jesus, living in the heavenly realm, seated in the heavenly places, using all the spiritual blessings, putting on the whole armor of God, Satan's like, go ahead. Pick your good guys, pick your bad guys. I'm running the whole thing anyway. But he's not. He's deluded. And if you follow him, you are too. So you have to get above all of that. This takes intention. This takes some real intention because your flesh is fighting this. Though your emotional makeup, unredeemed, is literally fighting what I'm saying. That's why this can really harden your heart. It can really harden you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. You're not going to get a better deal than Jesus. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. John 18:36, Jesus answered to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. There's a whole different war that you should be waging right now. It's called intercession. It's called looking at the situation, watching, and praying. Not praying that the Ukrainians would win. That'd be actually one of the worst things that could happen for the Ukrainians. Not praying that the Russians would win. That would also be really bad for the Ukrainians. Praying that the Lord would come and reveal himself and people would humble themselves and repent and get saved before Jesus comes and fights them, because he's coming to fight. He is literally coming to fight. And so we don't want to be impatient, get caught up in the wrong war, and miss the one that's coming to determine our forever future. Okay? Now, Jesus is testing his church right now. Jesus is evaluating whether we want the leadership of Jesus or the leadership of Satan. Because Satan is fighting a different war than we can see, his methods are often misunderstood. There's a spiritual war going on, and the church is being tempted to see a human war. Now, this is why. Demons spread by sight. All things actually spread by sight. This is why it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we behold and become, right? It's whatever you put in, you will start to take on, okay? This is really important. So demons spread by sight and impatient reaction of the flesh. Like a virus, they turn your flesh against itself. So when a demon's present, its actions will provoke a response from you. This is what I mean. If there's a demon, that its assignment is to produce hatred in somebody. And so the demon touches the person's emotions. He like whispers in the ear of the person. The person has flesh, just like you and I. There's certain things that set them off, and they get set off. And you ever met just an angry person's angry at you, and you're like, why are you so angry at me? You ever had that happen? If what the demon wants for you to do is get angry at the person. If you get angry at the person, then it spreads. It jumps from that person to you. It replicates. And now the demon has two people, not just one. But if you do what Jesus said, if you love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, or pray for those who curse you, or bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you. If you do, if you get out of that leadership and you into the Holy Spirit, then you can actually see that's a demon. That person is actually under a demon. I don't have to respond this way. Now, these world leaders, they're demonized. They're demonized. And if you watch them and you're like, that idiot, he just got another one. It's spreading like wildfire right now. If you listen to what's happening on social media, pride is spreading like in a way that the consequences always come later. So the spiritual choice is made and then the physical symptom will manifest. I want to tell you something. You're seeing a disease spread right now, and like I don't know what the incubation period is, but it's going to manifest as a war. It's going to manifest as a war against Christians. This is a spiritual reality. I can feel the Holy Spirit on me when I'm talking to you right now. I'm telling you, dude, Steph said it. Like, you're going to tell us some stuff this morning that we're going to need later on that we can't see. And I want to tell you for sure, there's a spiritual reality engulfing the earth right now called pride. And it's going to result in a war against saints. And people will think they're serving God while they do it because they don't know him. They don't know him. You're safe. If you pass the pretest, be patient, be Philadelphia. A little strength, don't deny his name. Pray about the armor of God. Pray about the way you're seeing these events play out. Be intentional with your emotions. Do not be lazy with your emotions right now. It's very tempting to get caught up in the movie of these things unfolding. That's a psyops. That movie's not real. There's a spiritual war that the cameras aren't on. CNN can't cover it. Fox News can't cover it. But the Holy Spirit is covering it right now. You have to get into the Holy Spirit's movie screen right now. Get into the secret place right now. Get into the place where God can tell you how to look at these things. Because it's going to get way more confusing. I want to tell you from here on out, the two realities are going to look almost the same. Almost the same. Satan can only counterfeit things. He can only corrupt things, and he's running out of places to corrupt because Jesus is unveiling truth. The more Jesus unveils the truth of the human heart, the more Satan's narrative is going to have to sound like Jesus for him to be able to corrupt anything. So it's going to be almost impossible to tell the difference between people that are telling the truth and people that are under the influence of demons. And the only way you can know is what? What is the way you know? Fruit. Fruit. You tell by their patience. You tell by their kindness, their gentleness, their self-control. You tell by their faithfulness. You tell by the way that they carry their heart in joy, not in anger, not in fear. That's how you know the difference. You have to know the difference right now. Like, you're running out of time to know the difference, really. Delusion, the problem with delusion is when God gives you over to it, you don't know what happened. You just don't know what happened. You'll still feel righteous. You'll still feel confident. That's the problem with delusion. You get more confident in the wrong thing. You don't want that to happen. Right now, you don't want that to happen. If you're listening to me on the live stream, you don't want that to happen. You have to actually be repentant about celebrating the wrong things and being mad about the wrong things, okay? Now, when a demon's present, its actions provoke a response. The provocation is designed to spread the influence of the demon. And I just gave you that example. The demon operating in Russia-Ukraine scenario is pride. Don't let Putin's failure or Ukraine's success make you proud, or you'll give more of your heart to that spirit right now. All of this is tragic. The whole thing that's unfolding is tragic. It's all tragic. There's no emotional victory that's like, man, if there's not repentance and the witness of Jesus Christ and his blood being the only thing that's going to resolve this conflict. Jesus' blood is the only thing that's going to resolve it. I want to tell you something. It won't be resolved until he comes. World War I never ended. It resulted in World War II. World War II never ended. And World War III is going to be the same conflict as World War II, because the question is, who should lead the earth. What came out of World War II? Cold War, what else? Division of the Middle East. Well, that was World War I, but it was reinforced in World War II and Germany. Yes, the division of Germany, Vietnam. Korea, Israel. All these things are right. Israel came out of World War II. If you listen, there's a ton of anti-Semitism that's flooding the earth right now. Okay, and I want to spend the last couple of minutes. I'm almost done. I'm going to take about 3 or 4 more minutes. Okay, so ask the Lord to open your eyes. Don't let Putin's success, don't let his failure make you proud or Ukraine's success or vice versa. You know, there's some people that believe the opposite. All this is tragic. There's no romantic victory happening. Demons are spreading out in rage that their time is short. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to the real enemy. Don't get caught in the Hollywood of it all. If the Ukrainians resisting makes you cry or emotional. Now, Sam thought I'll just uncover our little conversation because we were both watching the news last night. We're both crying. She didn't notice that I was crying because she's not that sensitive. Or she had a lot of water in her eyes. She maybe had a lot of water in her eyes, but we were both crying. I'm crying because I want these Ukrainians to win because I just think it's so unjust that this is happening. Like, I really do. And when I see, like, these young ladies and these, you know, kids standing their ground, and these old men, they had the old former president of Ukraine on the news, and he's standing his ground, and it's very appealing to my flesh. Like, it's very emotionally appealing to me that they would prevail and that this massive army would be humbled. But the Lord's like, Tom, that's not how I feel. So he told me this morning. He said, if you're crying about this emotional victory, you have to understand this is not victory in the heavenly realm. What's victory in the heavenly realm is people getting on their knees and saying, God, without you, we can't do this. We shouldn't do this. This wouldn't even be a good victory without you. You have to come, change my heart. I don't care what happens on the earth. You got to change me. I'm not ready to live with you forever. That's the victory. That's the witness, right? That was your witness in your time of trouble. He wants the same thing for other people. Like, you're not the only one that's supposed to have that witness. Like, that's the witness of Jesus Christ, okay? Okay, so if Ukrainians resisting makes you cry, understand that's a different victory than God wants. God wants Ukrainians repenting just as he always has. He's always wanted this, like for hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years, right? The flesh wants to win the war. The Holy Spirit wants us to humble ourselves under God's hand. And then I give you that passage from 1 Peter 5:5-9. Okay, he says that if you do that, if you humble yourself under his hand, he'll exalt you in due time. That's a patient statement. So if you really want Ukrainians to be vindicated and justified, then they should humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt them. But if they win right now, they'll probably forfeit that exaltation later on. We don't want that, right? You don't want that. You want a bunch of Ukrainians to win a great story so you can feel good for the next 10 minutes until something else bad happens, and then have them all forfeit their eternal life forever, win the world and forfeit their soul. Like, that'd be terrible. I'd way rather they lost right now and I could talk to them about it in a million years. That'd be great. Okay, now, the actual war is against impatience. Revelation 12:10-13. I said 3 or 4 minutes. I meant 7 to 8. Then I heard the Lord, a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. How is Satan feeling right this second? Impatient. Impatient. What is the greatest chance for you to catch a demon? Impatience. That's how Satan's feeling. That's how the whole kingdom of Satan is feeling right now. Oh, we got a little time. So if we watch and we're feeling impatient, we have to understand this is not a fruit of the Spirit. This impatience is actually us getting pulled into a soul thing that's happening all over the earth right now because Satan has been cast down. I mean, look around. It's happening right now. Woe to the inhabitants of the sea, for the devil's come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. Now, when the dragon saw that he'd been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And then he goes after the church. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. He went to make war with the rest of her offspring to keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Okay, so we know this passage pretty well. Satan gets cast down from the mid-heavens. He decides to make war on Israel. When that doesn't work, he goes after the church because the church is actually covering Israel in prayer. And we've studied that many times here, so I'm not going to develop that, but this is the point I want to make. Last page of the notes. This war is psyops. It's psychological warfare. It's impatience, doubt, and fear to combat capital P patience, capital F faith, capital L love. You don't have patience, faith, and love without God's leadership. These are fruits of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. So this psyop operation right now, you can't watch the news and see it. You can watch the news of the Holy Spirit and see it, though. If you let the Holy Spirit show it to you and give you ears to hear and eyes to see, you will notice what's happening. Trust me, you will. Satan feels impatient. He provokes those who see his impatient rage to impatient rage, thinking they're fighting Satan when they're actually coming under his leadership. That's what he wants. He wants us feeling like we're fighting the bad guy. And he's like, good, perfect. Give in to your anger is the way Darth Vader said it to Luke. That's a real spiritual principle. You give in to your anger, anger controls you. That's what he wants. John 16, 1 to 3. These things I've spoken to you, speaking of coming out of the world and the world hating his friends in John 15, that you should not be made to stumble, that they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. For real. They will really think it's a righteous to kill believers. For real. Because they've been pulled into a delusion. This is happening to you. To you. That's why Jesus warns you. You. And if you're not careful with your emotions, it'll pull you all the way in. Okay? Right now. We have to choose in faith to see God and then to know him. Just like Satan spreads by seeing, so does God's kingdom. It comes by revelation. We look at who he is and we behold him and become more like him if we have the Holy Spirit illuminating who he is. That's what it says. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Beholding and becoming as if in a mirror. Glory to glory. Okay? So we have to choose in faith to see God and then to know him, his thoughts, emotions, and will for us and the people around us. This is the tabernacle of David, and we see that he says, I'm going to sift the Israel among the nations as grain is sifted in a sieve. Not the smallest grain will fall to the ground. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword who say the calamity shall not overtake and confront us. So if you see this happening far away and you think to yourself, I'm thankful that it's not here, that's entirely the wrong soulish message. It is here. The psyops is all around you. The message is actually being projected towards you. You're the one watching the movie. They're living it. It is here. The war is here. You're just seeing the wrong war. You're looking at that war in Ukraine. You're like, I'm glad that's not here. Satan's like, perfect. Keep thinking that. It's here right now. Otherwise, you wouldn't be seeing it, making decisions about it, right? It's got all of our attention. It's here. Okay, so he's shaking Israel among the nations like a sieve. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword who say the calamity shall not overtake or confront us. We should be seeing, oh, this is very confusing. When it comes here, it's going to be even more confusing because we're going to be living in it. I got to see the right purpose and principle of all of this right now. Because when that pressure is on me, it will be much harder to see what's true, what's clear. Do you see what I'm saying? This is important. Satan's impatience and rage is directed at Israel. Right now, what's happening in Ukraine is really about Israel. And if you listen to Putin, you can hear it. He's calling Zelensky an anti-Semite, a Nazi, a neo-Nazi. He's trying to provoke people against himself so that they'll catch the demon. That's what he wants. No, he's not the anti-Semite. You're the anti-Semite. No, he's not the neo-Nazi. You're the neo-Nazi. That's what Satan wants. Perfect. Get it. Catch it. Catch it. No, he is. He is. That's what he is. Yes, catch it. Catch it. Just agree with either one. Catch it. I just want you to catch it. That's what Satan's feeling right now. Just catch it. I got little time. He's playing his cards heavy right now. He's overplaying his hand in many ways. If you are willing, the Lord will teach you how to do this right now. He'll teach you how to see through all of this if you're willing. But if you're arrogant, hard-hearted, decided how you're going to feel about things, you will get a harder heart, I guarantee it. You don't want that to happen. You want to see what the Lord sees in these things. And you want to be willing to say them. If you say what I'm saying, I guarantee you, you will get some kickback. That's good. Jesus said, count it all joy when they persecute you, revile you for my name's sake. He says, that's what they did to the prophets. Listen for anti-Semitism. What that means is, Using Israel to justify impatience and rage. That's what anti-Semitism is. Using Israel like a pawn. I don't care what you do with her. I say this thing about her. I say that thing about her. She's just an object. I do whatever I want with her. I hate her. I'm indifferent towards her. That's anti-Semitism. That's what Putin's literally doing. He's literally just throwing Israel out there like a pawn because he hates this guy and he wants other people to hate him. So he throws it out there and it's working. Tons of people are getting into hate because of it right now. Anti-Semitism is like a virus. It's spreading all over the earth right now. We're like, no, that's a fight in the Ukraine. Maybe it'll come to the Jews. No, it's a fight about Israel, according to the Bible. Okay? This will spread. The war being waged by Satan in the Ukraine right now isn't a war against Ukrainians or Russians. It's a war against prayer. And that's what the Amos 9 passage is about. Jesus wants to raise up the tabernacle of David. If you're humble and you're like, that thing's coming here, I don't want to avoid it. I actually want to walk right through it. I'll pass the pretest now. Jesus is like, that thing will go right around you, just like Jesus walking through the crowd. You pass the pretest, you'll walk right through the crowd. Even though they want to kill you, till it's your time, I will not let not one hair of your head will be hurt. Till it's your time to be a martyr for me or for me to rapture you and take you up to my side or for you to die a natural death. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. But you know he holds you, right? This war will spread to all nations. Know by faith what you hear in the news and social media that demons are spreading pride by way of impatient rage to all nations right now because the earth is so connected. It's what Daniel was told. People run to and fro. Knowledge will increase. That's how you know it's the Great Tribulation because these demons are spreading so rapidly right now. God is listening for our response to what we're seeing. The wrong responses, this is what they include. Hating or fearing Russia, despising the Ukraine or its leader, choosing NATO over Russia or vice versa, putting your trust in the size of your army or the weakness of their army, getting caught up in the romantic underdog narrative or the momentum of supermight, blaming people for being victims. Have you heard this? Blaming people for being victims? Well, if you wouldn't have done that, this wouldn't be happening. That's satanic. That's Satan. It's pointing the finger and speaking wickedness. Well, I'd love to help you, but you got yourself into the situation. If you just learned to be smart like me, you wouldn't be in it. That's arrogant, untrue, unkind. It's happening all over the earth right now, all over the earth. If you don't want that, if you want to break from it, stand with me. Jen, you want to come back up? Your words have been harsh against me. This is what God says to Malachi just before John the Baptist comes on the scene. I want to tell you, John the Baptist, the spirit of Elijah, is coming to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, children to the fathers. The spirit's going to be poured out. This is a good thing, I'm telling you. If you see it from heaven's perspective, if you see it on the earth, woe to the earth, for the devil's come down to you. But if you come up, listen. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? And you've said, it's useless to serve God. What profit is it that we've kept his ordinance and that we've walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? Anybody here getting tired of repenting? Come on. Come on. When is this over? It's not a waste of time. I want to tell you, it's not a waste of time. He says, this is why he's upset. We've walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts, so now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him. For those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them. I will keep them from the time of testing. I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. The Lord is raising up a witness. I want to declare to you in the power of the Holy Spirit today, the Lord is raising up a witness on the earth that will tell the truth about what the earth is seeing and will say there is an unseen enemy that is stealing from you because he stole from me. If you want eyes to see, let's ask him, Holy Spirit in this room, give us eyes to see. Heaven's armies, just like Elisha's friend, God, unveil the heavens, roll up the sky like a scroll. Let us see what's happening in the heavenly realm. God, let us see where demons have been cast down to the earth. Forgive us, God, for being so lazy with our emotions. Forgive us for being so quick to pass judgment. Impatient, God, forgive us for our impatience. Fill us with patience. Just made some room for some patience. If you did that, fill us with patience, Holy Spirit. Fill us with love. Fill us with love, God. Forgive us for our unjustified hatred of the wrong people. Fill us with love. Fill us with love, God. Let us discern the actual enemy of God. Let us discern the victims of that enemy. Fill us, God, with spiritual power because we agree with what God wants. Fill us with spiritual power because we agree with what God wants. A power that turns back enemies, that worships in the face of human danger, that releases confusion on the camp of demons. You need this, what I'm saying you need. Holy Spirit, pour out spiritual power that multiplies a little. In Jesus' name, amen.